alive, and she was awake, and this was allowed. He was hers, to have and hold, not forever maybe, not forever for sure, and not figuratively, but literally, and now, now he was hers, and he wanted her to touch him. He was like a cat who pushes its head under your hands. Eleanor brought her hands down Park's chest with her fingertips apart, then brought them up again, under his shirt. She did it because she wanted to. And because once she started touching him the way she did in her head, it was hard to stop. And because, what if she never had the chance to touch him like this again?
Park. When he felt her fingers on his stomach, he made the noise again. He held her to him and pushed forward, pushing Eleanor backwards, stumbling around the coffee table to the couch. In movies, this happened smoothly or comically. In Park's living room, it was just awkward. They wouldn't let go of each other, so Eleanor fell back, and Park fell against her in the corner of the couch. He wanted to look in her eyes, but it was hard when they were this close. "Eleanor," he whispered. She nodded. "I love you," he said. She looked up at him, her eyes shiny and black, then looked away. "I know," she said. He pulled one of his arms out from under her and traced her outline against the couch. He could spend all day like this, running his hand down her ribs, into her waist, out to her hip and back again. If he had all day, he would, if she weren't made of so many other miracles. "You know?" he repeated. She smiled, so he kissed her. "You're not the Han Solo in this relationship, you know."
"I'm totally the Han Solo," she whispered.
It was good to hear her. It was good to remember it was Eleanor under all this new flesh.
"Well, I'm not the Princess Leia," he said.
"Don't get so hung up on gender roles," Eleanor said. Park ran his hand out to her hip and back again, catching his thumb under her sweater. She swallowed and lifted her chin. He pulled her sweater up farther, and then, without thinking about why, he pulled up his shirt, too, and laid his bare stomach against hers. Eleanor's face crumpled, and it made him come unhinged.
"You can be Han Solo," he said, kissing her throat, "and I'll be Boba Fett. I'll cross the sky for you."
Eleanor. Things she knew now that she hadn't known 2 hours ago. Park was covered with skin, everywhere, and it was all just as smooth and honey-beautiful as the skin on his hands. It felt thick and richer in some places, more like crushed velvet than silk, but it was all his and all wonderful. She was also covered with skin, and her skin was apparently covered with super-powered nerve endings that hadn't done a damn thing her whole life, but came alive like ice and fire and bee stings as soon as Park touched her, wherever Park touched her. As embarrassed as she was of her stomach and her freckles and the fact that her bra was held together with two safety pins, she wanted Park to touch her more than she could ever feel embarrassed. And when he touched her, he didn't seem to care about any of those things. Some of them he even liked, like her freckles. He said she was candy sprinkled. She wanted him to touch her everywhere. He'd stopped at the edge of her bra and only dipped his fingers into the back of her jeans, but it wasn't Eleanor who stopped him. She never would. When Park touched her, it felt better than anything she'd ever felt in her whole life, ever. And she wanted to feel that way as much as she could. She wanted to stock up on him. Nothing was dirty with Park. Nothing could be shameful. Because Park was the sun, and that was the only way Eleanor could think to explain it.
Park. Once it started to get dark, he felt like his parents could walk in at any minute, like they should have been home a long time ago,
and he didn't want them to find him like this, with his knee between Eleanor's legs and his hand on her hip and his mouth as far as it could reach down the neck of her sweater. He pulled away from her and tried to think clearly again.
"Where are you going?"
she asked. "I don't know. Nowhere. My parents should be home soon. We should get it together."
"Okay,"
she said, and sat up. But she looked so bewildered and beautiful that he climbed back on top of her and pushed her all the way down. A half hour later, he tried again. He stood up this time. "I'm going to the bathroom," he said.
"Go,"
she said.
"Don't look back."
He took a step, then looked back.
"I'll go,"
she said a few minutes later. While she was gone, Park turned up the volume on the TV. He got them both Cokes and looked at the couch to see if it looked illicit. It didn't seem to. When Eleanor came back, her face was wet. "Did you wash your face?"
"Yeah,"
she said.
"Why?" "Because I looked weird."
"And you thought you could wash it off?" He gave her the same once-over he'd given the couch. Her lips were swollen, and her eyes seemed wilder than usual. But Eleanor's sweaters were always stretched out, and her hair always looked tangled.
"You look fine," he said. "What about me?"
She looked at him and then smiled.
"Good," she said. "Just really, really good."
He held out his hand to her and pulled her onto the couch, smoothly this time. She sat next to him and looked down at her lap. Park leaned against her.
"It's not going to be weird now," he said. "Is it?"
She shook her head and laughed.
"No,"
she said, and then,
"Only for a minute, only a little."
He'd never seen her face so open. Her brows weren't pulled together, her nose wasn't scrunched. He put his arm around her, and she laid her head on his chest without any prompting.
"Oh, look," she said, "the young ones."
"Yeah."
"Hey, you still haven't told me. What was going on yesterday, when I saw you? What was wrong?"
She sighed.
"I was on my way to Mrs. Dunn's office because somebody in gym took my clothes."
"Tina?"
"I don't know, probably."
"Jesus,"
he said. "That's terrible." "It's okay."
She actually sounded like it was.
"Did you find them? Your clothes?"
"Yeah.
I really, really don't want to talk about it."
"Okay," he said. Eleanor pressed her cheek into his chest, and Park hugged her. He wished that they could go through life like this, that he could physically put himself between Eleanor and the world. Maybe Tina really was a monster.
"Park?"
Eleanor said.
"Just one more thing. I mean, can I ask you something?"
"You know you can ask me anything. We've got a deal." She set her hand over his heart.
"Did the way you acted today have something to do with seeing me yesterday?"
He almost didn't want to answer. Yesterday's confusing lust felt even more inappropriate now that he knew the depressing backstory.
"Yeah," he said quietly.
Eleanor didn't say anything for a minute or so, and then,
"Tina would be so pissed."
Eleanor. When Park's parents got home, they seemed genuinely glad to see Eleanor. His dad had bought a new hunting rifle at the boat show, and he tried to show her how it worked. "You can buy guns at a boat show?" Eleanor asked. "You can buy anything at a boat show," his dad said. "Anything worth having." "Books?" she asked. "Books about guns and boats." She stayed late because it was Saturday, and on the way home, she and Park stopped at his grandparents' driveway, as usual. But tonight, Park didn't lean over and kiss her. Instead, he held her tight. "Do you think we'll ever be alone like that again?" she asked. She felt the tears in her eyes. "Ever? Yes. Soon? I don't know." She hugged him as hard as she could, and then she walked home alone. Richie was home and awake and watching Saturday Night Live. Ben was asleep on the floor, and Maisie was sleeping next to Richie on the couch. Eleanor would have gone straight to bed, but she had to go to the bathroom, which meant walking between him and the TV, twice. When she got to the bathroom, she pulled her hair back tight and washed her face again. She hurried back past the TV without looking up. "Where have you been?" Richie asked. "Where do you go all the time?" "To my friend's house," Eleanor said. She kept walking.
"What friend?"
"Tina," Eleanor said. She put her hand on the bedroom door.
"Tina," Richie said. There was a cigarette in his mouth, and he was holding a can of Old Milwaukee. "Tina's house must be fucking Disneyland, huh? You can't get enough."
She waited. "Eleanor?" She heard her mom calling from the bedroom. She sounded half asleep.
"So what did you spend your Christmas money on?" Richie asked. "I told you to buy yourself something nice."
The bedroom door opened and her mother came out. She was wearing Richie's bathrobe. One of those Asian souvenir robes, red satin with a big gaudy tiger. "Eleanor," her mom said, "go to bed."
"I was just asking Eleanor what she bought with her Christmas money," Richie said.
If Eleanor made something up now, he'd want to see whatever it was. If she said she hadn't spent the money, he might want it back. "A necklace," she said.
"A necklace," he repeated.
He looked at her blearily, like he was trying to come up with something awful to say, but he just took another drink and leaned back in his chair. "Good night, Eleanor," her mom said.
Chapter 43. Park. Park's parents almost never fought, and when they did, it was always about him or Josh. His parents had been arguing in their bedroom for more than an hour, and when it was time to leave for Sunday dinner, their mom came out and told the boys to go ahead without them.
"Tell Grandma I have headache."
"What did you do?"
Josh asked Park as they cut through the front lawn.
"Nothing," Park said. "What did you do?"
"Nothing. It's you. When I went to the bathroom, I heard Mom say your name."
But Park hadn't done anything. Not since the eyeliner, which he knew wasn't dead, but it seemed in remission. Maybe his parents knew somehow about yesterday. Even if they did, Park hadn't done anything with Eleanor that he'd ever been explicitly told not to do. His mom never talked to him about that kind of thing, and his dad hadn't said anything more than, "Don't get anybody pregnant," since he told Park about sex in the fifth grade. He told Josh at the same time, which was insulting. Anyway, they hadn't gone that far. He hadn't touched her anywhere that you couldn't show on television, even though he'd wanted to. He wished now that he had. It might be months before they were alone again.
Eleanor. She went to Mrs. Dunn's office Monday morning before class, and Mrs. Dunn gave her a brand new combination lock. It was hot pink. "We talked to some of the girls in your class," Mrs. Dunn said, "but they all played dumb. We're still going to get to the bottom of this, I promise." There is no bottom, Eleanor thought. There's just Tina. "It's okay," she told Mrs. Dunn. "It doesn't matter." Tina had watched Eleanor get on the bus that morning with her tongue on her top lip, like she was waiting for Eleanor to spaz out, or like she was trying to see whether Eleanor was wearing any toilet clothes. But Park was right there, practically pulling Eleanor into his lap. So it was easy to ignore Tina and everybody else. He looked so cute this morning. Instead of his usual scary black band t-shirt, he was wearing a green shirt that said, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." He walked with her to the counselor's offices and told her that if anybody stole her clothes today, she was supposed to find him immediately. Nobody did. Bibi and Denise had already heard about what happened from somebody in another class, which meant that the whole school knew. They said they were never going to let Eleanor walk alone to lunch again, macho nachos be damned. "Those skanks need to know you have friends," Denise said.
"Mm-hmm,"
BB agreed.
Park. His mom was waiting in the Impala Monday afternoon when Park and Eleanor got off the bus. She rolled down the window.
Hi, Eleanor. Sorry, but Park has errand to run. We see you tomorrow, okay?
Sure, Eleanor said. She looked at him and he reached out to squeeze her hand as she walked away. He got into the car.
Come on, come on, his mom said. Why you do everything so slow? Here.
She handed him a brochure. State of Nebraska Driver's Manual.
Practice test at end, she said. Now buckle up.
Where are we going? He asked.
To get your driving license, dummy.
Does Dad know?
His mom sat on a pillow when she drove and hung forward on the steering wheel.
He knows, but you don't have to talk to him about it, okay? This is our business right now, you and me. Now, look at test. Not hard. I pass on first try.
Park flipped to the back of the book and looked at the practice exam. He'd studied the whole manual when he turned 15 and got his learner's permit.
Is Dad going to be mad at me? He asked.
Whose business is this right now?
Ours, he said.
You and me, she said.
Park passed the test on his first try. He even parallel parked the Impala, which was like parallel parking a Star Destroyer. His mom wiped his eyelids with a Kleenex before he had his picture taken. She let him drive home.
So, if we don't tell Dad, Park asked, does that mean I can't ever drive?
He wanted to drive Eleanor somewhere. Anywhere.
I work on it, his mom said. Meantime, you have your license if you need it, for emergency.
That seemed like a pretty weak excuse to get his license. Park had gone 16 years without a driving emergency.
The next morning on the bus, Eleanor asked him what his big secret errand was, and he handed her his license.
What? She said. Look at you. Look at this.
She didn't want to give it back.
I don't have any pictures of you, she said.
I'll get you another one, he said.
You will? Really?
You can have one of my school pictures. My mom has tons.
You have to write something on the back, she said.
Like what?
Like, hey, Eleanor, K-I-T, L-Y-L-A-S, stay sweet, Park.
But I don't L-Y like an S, he said.
And you're not sweet.
I'm sweet, she said, affronted and holding back his license.
No, your other good things, he said, snatching it from her. But not sweet.
Is this where you tell me that I'm a scoundrel, and I say that I think you like me because I'm a scoundrel? Because we've already covered this. I'm the Han Solo. I'm going to write, for Eleanor, I love you, Park. God, don't write that. My mom might find it.
Eleanor. Park gave her a school picture. It was from October, but he already looked so different now. Older. In the end, Eleanor hadn't let him write anything on the back because she didn't want him to ruin it. They hung out in his bedroom after dinner, tater-tot casserole, and managed to sneak kisses while they looked through all of Park's old school pictures. Seeing him as a little kid just made her want to kiss him more. Gross, but whatever. As long as she didn't want to kiss actual little kids, she wasn't going to worry about it. When Park asked her for a picture, she was relieved that she didn't have any to give him. We'll take one, he said. Okay. Okay, cool. I'll get my mom's camera. Now? Why not now? She didn't have an answer. His mom was thrilled to take her picture. This called for makeover part two, which Park cut short, thank God, saying, Mom, I want a photo that actually looks like Eleanor. His mom insisted on taking a photo of them together, too, which Park didn't mind at all. He put his arm around her. Shouldn't we wait? Eleanor asked. For a holiday or something more memorable? I want to remember tonight, Park said. He was such a dork sometimes. Eleanor must have been acting too happy when she got home because her mom followed her to the back of the house like she could smell it on her. Happiness smelled like Park's house, like skin so soft and all four food groups. Are you going to take a bath? Her mom asked. Uh-huh. I'll watch the door for you. Eleanor turned on the hot water and climbed into the empty bathtub. It was so cold by the back door that the bathwater started cooling off before the tub was even full. Eleanor took baths in such a hurry she was usually done by then. I ran into Eileen Benson at the store today, her mom said. Do you remember her from church? I don't think so, Eleanor said. Her family hadn't gone to church in 3 years. She had a daughter your age, Tracy. Maybe. Well, she's pregnant, her mom said. And Eileen's a wreck. Tracy got involved with a boy in their neighborhood, a black boy. Eileen's husband is having a fit. I don't remember them, Eleanor said. The tub was almost full enough to rinse her hair. Well, it just made me think about how lucky I am, her mom said. That you didn't get involved with a black guy? No, her mom said. I'm talking about you. How lucky I am that you're so smart about boys. I'm not smart about boys, Eleanor said. She rinsed her hair quickly, then stood up, covering herself with a towel while she got dressed. You stayed away from them. That's smart. Eleanor pulled out the drain and carefully picked up her dirty clothes. Park's photo was in her back pocket, and she didn't want it to get wet. Her mom was standing by the stove, watching her. Smarter than I ever was, her mom said, and braver. I haven't been on my own since the 8th grade. Eleanor hugged her dirty jeans to her chest. You act like there are 2 kinds of girls, she said. The smart ones and the ones that boys like. That's not far from the truth, her mom said, trying to put her hand on Eleanor's shoulder. Eleanor took a step back. You'll see, her mom said. Wait until you're older. They both heard Richie's truck pull into the driveway. Eleanor pushed past her mother and rushed to her bedroom. Ben and Mouse slipped in just behind her. Eleanor couldn't think of a place safe enough for Park's photo, so she zipped it into the pocket of her school bag. After she'd looked at it again and again and again. Chapter 44. Eleanor. Wednesday night wasn't the worst. Park had Taekwondo, but Eleanor still had Park, the memory of him everywhere. Everywhere he'd touched her felt untouchable. Everywhere he'd touched her felt safe. Richie had to work late that night, so her mom made Totino's party pizzas for dinner. They must have been on sale at Food for Less because the freezer was stuffed with them. They watched Highway to Heaven while they ate. Then Eleanor sat with Maisie on the living room floor, and they tried to teach Mouse Down Down Baby. It was hopeless. He could either remember the words or the clapping, but never both at once. It drove Maisie crazy. Start again, she kept saying. Come help us, Ben, Eleanor said. It's easier with 4. Down, down, baby, down by the roller coaster. Sweet, sweet baby, I'll never let you go. Shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Puff, shimmy. Oh, my God, Mouse, right hand first. Right first. Okay, start again. Down, down, baby. Mouse!
Chapter 45. Park.
I don't feel like cooking dinner, his mom said.
It was just the 3 of them, Park, his mom, and Eleanor, sitting on the couch watching Wheel of Fortune. His dad had gone turkey hunting and wouldn't be home until late, and Josh was staying over at a friend's.
I could heat up a pizza, Park said.
Or we could go get pizza, his mom said.
Park looked at Eleanor. He didn't know what the rules were as far as going out. Her eyes got big, and she shrugged.
Yeah, Park said, grinning. Let's go get pizza.
I feel too lazy, his mom said. You and Eleanor go get pizza.
You want me to drive?
Sure,
his mom said.
You too scared?
Jeez, now his mom was calling him pussy. No, I can drive. Do you want Pizza Hut? Should we call it in first?
You go where you want,
his mom said.
I'm not even very hungry.
You go, eat dinner, see a movie or something.
He and Eleanor both stared at her. Are you sure? He asked.
Yeah, go, she said. I never get house to myself. She was home all day, every day by herself, but Park decided not to mention it.
He and Eleanor stood up cautiously from the couch, like they were expecting his mom to say, April Fools, 2 weeks late.
Keys on hook, she said. Hand me my purse.
She gave him $20 from her wallet, and then 10 more.
Thanks,
Park said, still hesitant. I guess we'll go now?
Not yet.
His mom looked at Eleanor's clothes and frowned.
Eleanor can't go out like that.
If they wore the same size, she'd be forcing Eleanor into a stone-washed miniskirt about now.
But I've looked like this all day, Eleanor said.
She was wearing army surplus pants and a short-sleeved men's shirt over some kind of long-sleeved purple t-shirt. Park thought she looked cool. He actually thought she looked adorable, but that word would make Eleanor gag.
Just let me fix your hair, his mom said.
She pulled Eleanor into the bathroom and started pulling bobby pins out of her hair.
Down, 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 she said.
Park leaned against the doorway and watched.
It's weird that you're watching this, Eleanor said.
It's nothing I haven't seen before, he said.
Park probably helped me do your hair on wedding day, his mom said.
He and Eleanor both looked at the floor. I'll wait for you in the living room, he said. In a few minutes, she was ready. Her hair looked perfect, every curl shiny and on purpose, and her lips were a glossy pink. He could tell from hair that she'd taste like strawberries.
Okay, his mom said. Go. Have fun.
They walked out to the Impala, and Park opened the door for Eleanor.
I can open my own door, she said.
And by the time he got to his side, she'd leaned over the seat and pushed his door open.
Where should we go?
He asked.
I don't know, she said, sinking down in her seat. Can we just get out of the neighborhood? I feel like I'm sneaking across the Berlin Wall.
Oh, he said. Yeah. He started the car and looked over at her.
Get down more. Your hair glows in the dark.
Thanks.
You know what I mean.
He started driving west. There was nothing east of the flats but the river.
Don't drive by the rail, she said.
The what?
Turn right here.
Okay.
He looked down at her. She was crouching on the floor and laughed.
It's not funny.
It's kind of funny, he said.
You're on the floor and I'm only getting to drive because my dad's out of town.
Your dad wants you to drive. All you have to do is learn how to drive a stick.
I already know how to drive a stick.
Then what's the problem?
The problem is me, he said, feeling irritated. Hey, we're out of the neighborhood. Can you sit up now?
I'll sit up when we get to 24th Street.
She sat up at 24th Street, but they didn't talk again until 42nd.
Where are we going? She asked.
I don't know, he said. He really didn't. He knew how to get to school and how to get downtown, and that was it. Where do you want to go?
I don't know, she said.
Eleanor. She wanted to go to Inspiration Point, which, as far as she knew, only existed on happy days. And she didn't want to say to Park, hey, where do you kids go when you want to fog up the windows? Because what would he think of her? And what if he had an answer? Eleanor was trying really hard not to be overawed by Park's driving skills, but every time he changed lanes or checked the rearview mirror, she caught herself swooning. He might as well be lighting a cigarette or ordering a scotch on the rocks. It made him seem so much older. Eleanor didn't have her learner's permit. Her mom wasn't even allowed to drive, so getting Eleanor's license wasn't a priority. Do we have to go somewhere? She asked. Well, we have to go somewhere, Park said. But do we have to do something? What do you mean? Can't we just go somewhere and be together? Where do people go to be together? I don't even care if we get out of the car. He looked over at her,
then looked back nervously at the road. Okay, he said. Yeah, just let me... He pulled into a parking lot and turned around. We'll go downtown.
Park. They did get out of the car. Once they were downtown, Park wanted to show Eleanor Drastic Plastic and the Antiquarium and all the other record stores. She'd never even been to the Old Market, which was practically the only place to go in Omaha. There were a bunch of other kids hanging out downtown, a lot of them looking much weirder than Eleanor. Park took her to his favorite pizza place, and then his favorite ice cream place, and his third favorite comic book shop. He kept pretending that they were on a real date, and then he'd remember that they were.
Eleanor. Park held her hand the whole night, like he was her boyfriend. Because he is your boyfriend, dummy, she kept telling herself. Much to the dismay of the girl working at the record store. She had 8 holes in each ear, and she clearly thought Park was a whole closet full of cat's pajamas. The girl looked at Eleanor like, are you kidding me? And Eleanor looked back like, I know, right? They walked down every street of the market area and then across the street into a park. Eleanor didn't even know all this existed. She hadn't realized Omaha could be such a nice place to live. In her head, this was Park's doing too. The world rebuilt itself into a better place around him.
Park. They ended up at Central Park, Omaha's version. Eleanor had never been here before either, and even though it was wet and muddy and still kind of cold, she kept saying how nice it was.
Oh, look, she said. Swans.
I think those are geese, he said.
Well, they're the best-looking geese I've ever seen.
They sat on one of the park benches and watched the geese settle in on the bank of the man-made lake. Park put his arm around Eleanor and felt her lean against him.
Let's keep doing this, he said. What?
Going out.
Okay, she said.
She didn't say anything about him learning how to drive a manual transmission, which he appreciated.
We should go to prom, he said.
What? She lifted up her head. Prom. You know, prom.
I know what it is, but why would we go there?
Because he wanted to see Eleanor in a pretty dress. Because he wanted to help his mom do her hair.
Because it's prom, he said. And it's lame, she said. How do you know? Because the theme is, I want to know what love is.
That's not such a bad song, he said.
Are you drunk? It's Foreigner.
Park shrugged and pulled one of her curls straight. I know that prom is lame, he said. But it's not something you can go back and do. You only get one chance.
Actually, you get 3 chances.
Okay.
Will you go to prom with me next year?
She started laughing.
Yeah, she said. Sure. We can go next year. That will give my mouse and bird friends plenty of time to make me a dress. Totally. Yes. Let's go to prom.
You think it's never going to happen, he said. You'll see.
I'm not going anywhere. Not until you learn how to drive a stick.
She was relentless.
Eleanor. Prom. Right. That was going to happen. The amount of chicanery it would take to slip prom past her mother, it boggled the mind. Though now that Park had suggested it, Eleanor could almost see it working. She could tell her mom that she was going to prom with Tina, good old Tina, and she could get ready at Park's house. His mom would love that. The only thing Eleanor would have to figure out was the dress. Did they even make prom dresses in her size? She'd have to shop in the mother of the bride section. And she'd have to rob a bank. Seriously, even if a $100 bill fell right out of the sky, Eleanor could never spend it on something as stupid as a prom dress. She'd spend it on new Vans or a decent bra.
or a boombox. Actually, she'd probably just give it to her mom. Prom. As if.
Park. After she'd agreed to go to next year's prom with him, Eleanor also agreed to accompany Park to his first cotillion, the Academy Awards after-party, and any and all balls to which he received invitations. She giggled so much, the geese complained.
"Go on and honk," Eleanor said. "You think you can intimidate me with your swan-like good looks, but I'm not that kind of girl."
"Lucky for me," Park said.
"Why is that lucky for you?"
"Never mind." He wished he hadn't said it. He'd meant to be funny and self-deprecatory, but he didn't actually want to talk about how she managed to be attracted to him. Eleanor was studying him coolly.
"You're the reason that goose thinks I'm shallow," she said.
"I think it's a gander, right?" Park said. "The males are ganders?"
"Oh, right, gander. That suits him. Pretty boy. So, why is that lucky for you?"
"Because," he said, like both syllables hurt.
"Because why?"
she asked. "Isn't that my line?"
"I thought I could ask you anything," she said. "Because why?"
"Because of my all-American good looks?" He ran his hand through his hair and looked down at the mud.
"Are you saying that you're not good-looking?"
she asked. "I don't want to talk about this," Park said, hanging on to the back of his neck. "Can we go back to talking about prom?"
"Are you saying it just so that I'll tell you how cute you are?"
"No," he said. "I'm saying it because it's kind of obvious."
"It's not obvious," Eleanor said.
She turned on the bench so she was facing him and pulled his hand down.
"Nobody thinks Asian guys are hot," Park said finally. He had to look away from her when he said it. Way away, he turned his head completely. "Not here, anyway. I assume Asian guys do all right in Asia."
"That's not true," Eleanor argued. "Look at your mom and dad.
Asian girls are different. White guys think they're exotic."
"But
are you trying to come up with a super hot Asian guy so you can prove me wrong? Because there aren't any. I've had my whole life to think about this."
Eleanor folded her arms. Park looked out at the lake.
"What about that old TV show?" she said. "With the karate guy?"
"Kung Fu?"
"Yeah.
That actor was white, and that character was a monk."
"What about..."
"There aren't any," Park said. "Look at MASH. The whole show takes place in Korea, and the doctors are always flirting with Korean girls, right? But the nurses don't use their R&R to go to Seoul to pick up hot Korean guys. Everything that makes Asian girls seem exotic makes Asian guys seem like girls."
The gander was still honking at them. Park picked up a chunk of melting snow and tossed it half-heartedly in the goose's direction. He still couldn't look at Eleanor.
"I don't know what any of that has to do with me," she said.
"It has everything to do with me," he answered.
"No."
She put her hand on his chin and made him face her.
"It doesn't. I don't even know what it means that you're Korean."
"Beyond the obvious?"
"Yeah,"
she said.
"Exactly. Beyond the obvious."
Then she kissed him. He loved it when she kissed him first.
"When I look at you," she said, leaning into him, "I don't know if I'm thinking you're cute because you're Korean, but I don't think it's in spite of it. I just know that I think you're cute. Like, so cute, Park."
He loved it when she said his name.
"Maybe I'm really attracted to Korean guys," she said, "and I don't even know it."
"Good thing I'm the only Korean guy in Omaha," he said.
"And good thing I'm never getting out of this dump."
It was getting cold and probably late. Park wasn't wearing a watch. He stood up and pulled Eleanor to her feet. They held hands and cut through the park to get to the car.
I don't even know what it means to be Korean, he said.
Well, I don't know what it means to be Danish and Scottish, she said. Does it matter?
I think so, because it's the number one thing people use to identify me. It's my main thing.
I'm telling you, she said. I think your main thing might be that you're cute. You're practically adorable.
Park didn't mind the word adorable.
Eleanor. They'd parked on the far side of the market, and the lot was mostly empty by the time they got back. Eleanor felt tense and reckless again. Maybe it was something about this car. The Impala might not look pervy on the outside, not like a fully carpeted custom van or something, but the inside was a different story. The front seat was almost as big as Eleanor's bed, and the back seat was an Erica Jong novel just waiting to happen. Park opened the door for her, then ran around the car to get in. It's not as late as I thought, he said, looking at the clock on the dash. 8:30. Yeah, she said. She put her hand down on the seat between them. She tried to do it casually, but it came off pretty obvious. Park laid his hand on top of hers. It was just that kind of night. Every time she looked at him, he was looking back at her. Every time she thought about kissing him, he was already closing his eyes. Read my mind now, she thought. Are you hungry? He asked. No, she said. Okay. Park took his hand away and put the key in the ignition. Eleanor reached up and caught his sleeve before he could turn it. He dropped the keys, and all in one motion, he turned and scooped her into his arms. Seriously, scooped. He was always stronger than she expected him to be. If you were watching them now, and you totally could, because the windows weren't fogged over yet, you'd think that Eleanor and Park did this kind of thing all the time, not just the once before. This time was already different. They weren't moving forward in orderly steps like a game of Mother May I. They weren't even kissing each other square on the mouth. Lining things up neatly would take too long. Eleanor climbed up his shirt, climbing on top of him, and Park kept pulling her to him, even when she couldn't come any closer. She was wedged between Park and the steering wheel, and when he pushed his hand up her shirt, she leaned against the horn. They both jumped, and Park accidentally bit her tongue. Are you okay? He asked. Yeah, she said, glad that he didn't pull his hand away. Her tongue didn't seem to be bleeding. You? Yeah. He was breathing heavy, and it was wonderful. I did this to him, she told herself. Do you think... he said. What? He probably thought they should stop. No, she thought. No, I don't think. Don't think, Park. Do you think we should... Don't think I'm a creep, okay? Do you think we should get in the back seat? She pushed off him and slid over the back seat. God, it was huge. It was glorious. Not even a second later, Park landed on top of her.
Park. She felt so good underneath, even better than he'd expected. And he'd expected her to feel like heaven, plus Nirvana, plus that scene in Willy Wonka where Charlie starts to fly. Park was breathing so hard he couldn't get any air. It seemed impossible that this could feel as good to Eleanor as it did to him. But she was making these faces. She looked like a girl in a Prince video. If Eleanor was feeling anything like what he was feeling, how were they ever supposed to stop? He pulled her shirt up over her head.
Bruce Lee, she whispered.
What? That didn't seem right. Park's hands froze.
Super hot Asian guy. Bruce Lee.
Oh. He laughed. He couldn't help it. Okay. I'll give you Bruce Lee. She arched her back and he closed his eyes. He'd never get enough of her.
Chapter 46. Eleanor.
Richie's truck was in the driveway, but the whole house was dark, thank God. Eleanor was sure that something would give her away. Her hair, her shirt, her mouth. She felt radioactive. She and Park had been sitting in the alley for a while, in the front seat, just holding hands and feeling whiplashed. At least that's how Eleanor felt. It wasn't that she and Park had gone too far, necessarily, but they'd gone a whole lot farther than she'd been prepared for. She'd never expected to have a love scene straight out of a Judy Blume book. Park must be feeling strange, too. He sat through 2 Bon Jovi songs without even touching the radio. Eleanor had left a mark on his shoulder, but you couldn't see it anymore. This was her mom's fault. If Eleanor were allowed to have normal relationships with boys, she wouldn't have felt like she had to hit a home run the very first time she ended up in the back seat of a car. She wouldn't have felt like it might be her only time at bat. And she wouldn't be making these stupid baseball metaphors. It hadn't been a home run, anyway. They'd stopped at second base. At least, she thought it was second base. She'd heard conflicting definitions for the bases. Still, it was wonderful. So wonderful that she wasn't sure how they'd survive never doing it again. "I should go in," she said to Park after they'd been sitting in the car a half hour or more. "I'm usually home by now." He nodded, but didn't look up or let go of her hand. "Okay," she said. "We're okay, right?" He looked up then. His hair had flattened out, and it fell in his eyes. He looked concerned. "Yeah," he said. "Oh, yeah, I'm just..." She waited. He closed his eyes and shook his head like he was embarrassed. "I just really don't want to say goodbye to you, Eleanor. Ever." He opened his eyes and looked straight into her. Maybe this was third base. She swallowed. "You don't have to say goodbye to me, ever," she said. "Just tonight." Park smiled, then he raised an eyebrow. Eleanor wished she could do that. "Tonight," he said. "But not ever?" She rolled her eyes. She was talking like him now, like an idiot. She hoped it was too dark in the alley for him to see her blush. "Goodbye," she said, shaking her head. "I'll see you tomorrow." She opened the door to the Impala. It weighed as much as a horse. Then she stopped and looked back at him. "But we're okay, right?" "We're perfect," he said, leaning forward quickly and kissing her cheek. "I'll wait for you to get in." As soon as Eleanor slipped in the house, she could hear them fighting. Richie was yelling about something and her mom was crying. Eleanor moved toward her bedroom as quietly as she could. All the little kids were on the floor, even Maisie. They were sleeping through the chaos. "I wonder how often I sleep through it," Eleanor wondered. She managed to swing onto her bed without stepping on anybody, but she landed on the cat. He squawked and she pulled him up and onto her lap. "Shh," she breathed, scratching his neck. Richie shouted again, "My house!" And Eleanor and the cat both jumped. Something crunched beneath her. She reached under her leg and pulled out a badly crumpled comic book. An X-Men annual. "Damn it, Ben." She tried to smooth the comic out on her lap, but it was covered in some goop. The blanket felt wet, too. It was lotion or something. No. Liquid makeup, with little bits of broken glass. Eleanor carefully picked a shard out of the cat's tail and set it aside, then wiped her wet fingers on his fur. A length of oily brown cassette tape was wrapped around his leg. Eleanor pulled it free. She looked down the bed and blinked until her eyes adjusted to the dark. Torn comic book pages, powder, little pools of green eyeshadow. Miles of cassette tape. Her headphones were snapped in half and hanging from the edge of the bunk. Her grapefruit box was at the end of the bed, and Eleanor knew before she reached for it that it would be light as air, empty. The lid was ripped almost in half, and someone had written on it in bold black marker. With one of Eleanor's markers. Do you think you can make a fool of me? This is my house. Do you think you can whore around my neighborhood right under my nose and I'm not going to find out? Is that what you think? I know what you are, and it's over. Eleanor stared at the lid and struggled to make the letters into words, but she couldn't get past the familiar spill of lowercase letters. Somewhere in the house, her mother was crying like she was never going to stop. Chapter 47. Eleanor. Eleanor considered her options. 1. Chapter 48. Eleanor. Do I make you wet? She pulled back the soiled blanket and set the cat on the clean sheet underneath. Then she climbed from the top bunk to the bottom. Her book bag was sitting by the door. Eleanor unzipped it without getting off the bed and took Park's photo out of the side pocket. Then she was out the window and on the porch and running down the street faster than she'd ever run in gym class. She didn't slow down until she was on the next block, and then only because she didn't know where to go. She was almost to Park's house. She couldn't go to Park's house. Pop that cherry. Hey, Red! Eleanor ignored the girl's voice. She looked back at the street. What if somebody had heard her leave the house? What if Richie came after her? She stepped off the sidewalk into someone's yard, behind a tree. Hey! Eleanor! Eleanor looked around. She was standing in front of Steve's house. The garage door was mostly closed, propped open with a baseball bat. Eleanor could see someone moving inside, and Tina was walking down the driveway, holding a beer. Hey! Tina hissed. She looked as disgusted with Eleanor as ever. Eleanor thought about running again, but her legs felt weak. Your stepfather's been looking for you, Tina said. He's been driving around the neighborhood all goddamn night. What did you tell him? Eleanor said. Did Tina do this? Is that how he knew? I asked him if his dick was bigger than his truck, Tina said. I didn't tell him anything. Did you tell him about Park? Tina narrowed her eyes, then shook her head. But somebody's going to. Suck me off. Eleanor looked back at the street. She had to hide. She had to get away from him. What's wrong with you, anyway? Tina asked. Nothing. A pair of headlights stopped at the end of the block. Eleanor put her arms over her head. Come on, Tina said in a voice Eleanor had never heard before. Concerned. You just need to stay out of his way until he cools off. Eleanor followed Tina up the driveway, crouching to get into the hazy, dark garage.
Is that Big Red?
Steve was sitting on a couch. Mikey was there, too, on the floor, with one of the girls from the bus. There was Hessian music, Black Sabbath, coming from a car up on blocks in the middle of the garage. Sit down, Tina said, pointing to the other end of the couch.
You're in trouble, Big Red, Steve said. Your daddy's looking for you.
Steve was grinning from ear to ear. His mouth was bigger than a lion's. It's her stepdad, Tina said.
Stepdad? Steve shouted, throwing a beer can across the garage. Your fucking stepdad? Do you want me to kill him for you? I'm gonna kill Tina's anyway. I could get them both in the same day. Buy one, get one, he giggled. Buy one, get one. Free.
Tina opened a beer and shoved it into Eleanor's lap. Eleanor took it, just to have something to hold. Drink up, Tina said. Eleanor took a sip, obediently. It tasted sharp and yellow.
We should play quarters, Steve slurred. Hey, Red, do you have any quarters?
Eleanor shook her head. Tina perched next to him on the arm of the couch and lit a cigarette. We had quarters, she said. We spent them on beer, remember?
Those weren't quarters, Steve said. That was a 10.
Tina closed her eyes and blew smoke at the ceiling. Eleanor closed her eyes, too. She tried to think about what she should do next, but nothing came to her. The music on the car radio switched from Sabbath to AC/DC to Zeppelin. Steve sang along. His voice was surprisingly light.
Hangman, hangman, turn your head a while. Eleanor listened to Steve sing song after song over the wet hammer of her heartbeat. The beer can went warm in her hand. I know you're a slut. You smell like cum. She stood up. I've got to get out of here. God, Tina said. Relax, he won't find you here. He's probably already at the rail, drinking it off. No, Eleanor said. He's going to kill me. It was true, she realized, even if it wasn't. Tina's face was hard. So, where are you going to go? Away. I have to tell Park.
Park. Park couldn't sleep. That night, before they'd climbed back into the front seat of the Impala, he'd taken off all of Eleanor's layers and even unpinned her bra, then laid her down on the blue upholstery. She'd looked like a vision there, a mermaid. Cool white in the darkness, the freckles gathered on her shoulders and cheeks like cream rising to the top. The sight of her. She still glowed on the inside of his eyelids. It was going to be constant torture now that he knew what she was like under her clothes, and there wasn't a next time in their near future. Tonight was another fluke, a lucky break. A gift. Park! Someone said. Park sat up in bed and looked around dumbly. Park! There was a knock at the window, and he scrambled over to it, pulling back the curtain. It was Steve. Right behind the glass, grinning like a maniac. He must be hanging from the window ledge. Steve's face disappeared, and Park heard him fall heavily onto the ground. That asshole. Park's mom was going to hear him. Park opened the window quickly and leaned out. He was going to tell Steve to go away, but then he saw Eleanor standing in the shadow of Steve's house with Tina. Were they holding her hostage? Was she holding a beer?
Eleanor. As soon as Park saw her, he climbed out the window and hung 4 feet from the ground. He was going to break his ankles. Eleanor felt a sob catch in her throat. He landed in a crouch like Spider-Man and ran toward her. She dropped the beer on the grass. Jesus, Tina said. You're welcome. That was the last beer.
Hey, Park, did I scare you? Steve asked. Did you think I was Freddy Krueger? You think you was gonna get away from me?
Park got to Eleanor and took her arms. What's wrong? He asked. What's going on? She started to cry, like majorly cry. She felt like herself again as soon as he touched her, and it was horrible.
Are you bleeding?
Park asked, taking her hand. Car, Tina whispered, like it was a warning. Eleanor pulled Park against the garage until the headlights had passed.
What's going on?
He asked again. We should get back to the garage, Tina said.
Park. He hadn't been in Steve's garage since grade school. They used to play foosball in here. Now there was the Camaro up on blocks and an old couch pushed against the wall. Steve sat at one end of the couch and immediately lit a joint. He held it out to Park, but Park shook his head. The garage already smelled like 1,000 joints had been smoked in here, then put out in 1,000 beers. The Camaro was rocking a little bit, and Steve kicked the door. Settle down, Mikey, you're gonna knock it over. Park couldn't even imagine a turn of events that would have led Eleanor here, but she'd practically dragged him into the garage, and now she was huddled against him. Park still thought maybe they'd kidnapped her. Was he supposed to pay ransom? Talk to me, he said to the top of Eleanor's head. What's going on?
Her stepdad is looking for her,
Tina said. Tina was sitting on the arm of the couch with her legs in Steve's lap. She took the joint from him. Is that true? Park asked Eleanor. She nodded into his chest. She wouldn't let him pull far enough away that he could look at her. Fucking stepdads, Steve said. Motherfuckers, all of them. He burst into laughter. Oh, fuck, Mikey, did you hear that? He kicked the Camaro again. Mikey!
I have to leave, Eleanor whispered. Thank God.
Park backed away from her and took her hand. Hey, Steve, we're going back to my house.
Be careful, man. He's been driving around in that shit-colored...